Hey, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise Podcast number 242 on July 30th, 2019. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. If you prefer to avoid those recurring monthly charges, you can always make a one-time donation by simply doing the math. For example, 3 times a month times 12 months equals $36, and you can get the same benefits as a monthly patron. The link to make a one-time donation is just beneath the Patron button on the right side of my website as well. If you do this, put a little note on your one-time donation about what you want, how you want me to split it up, because sometimes I don't get an amount that makes a whole lot of sense to me, and I just kind of wing it. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider. And for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER. That's RYDER. And if you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. And you know, let me say one more thing about this free consultation thing. I had a fan call up who wanted an equipment consultation, and it turns out that the type of thing that he wanted really wasn't offered by EnticeMe. I am not the type of educator that only will recommend toys that benefit me. I will recommend the best. So I sent him to other places, and he kindly became a patron, much to my surprise. That was so sweet. So yes, don't fear that you will be limited to a narrower choice of products if you do the equipment consultation. Speaking of patrons, let's do a patron and donation update. Yes. Amit is a new $1 a month patron. Amit, thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it. Steven is also a new patron at $1 a month. Steven, you rock. Thanks so much for becoming a patron. And then another $1 a month patron is Three Brown Eyes. Brilliant name, I have to say. Loving the name. Thank you so much for becoming a patron. Your generosity, really appreciate it. And then a new $5 a month patron is Sugar Tea. I hope I said that right. I love seeing that name when it came by as well. Sugar Tea, thank you for your generosity and your support. Another $5 a month donation is from Bradley. Bradley, I really appreciate your patronage. That was awesome of you to sign up. And then another $5 a month patron is Vladimir. Vladimir, thank you so much for becoming a patron. Thanks for your generosity and support of my work here at Pegging Paradise. And then I got a one-time donation that I think I passed up and did not announce. I've been trying to look through all the different emails and really get caught up on the stuff that may have fallen through the cracks. Kelly did a one-time donation of $10. Kelly, thank you so much for that donation. I so appreciate your generosity. And now let's talk about the webinars coming up. Saturday morning, August 3rd at 10 a.m., there is a beginner's webinar. Then Monday night, August 5th at 6 p.m., there is another advanced webinar. And then for free. The quarterly ones I'm doing for free are both going to be on August 25th. The beginner's one is going to be at 10 in the morning, and the advanced one is the 1 p.m. time. Now, this August 5th advanced webinar and this 25th advanced webinar is the last time I'm going to do the full advanced webinar the way it is now, and then I'm going to split it into two like I've been talking about. There is so much information there that the runtime recently is about 2.5 hours, and that's just a little too much to ask people to sit through for a webinar. So that's the last time it's going to be the full-on thing. And the next announcement I have for you guys, I'm so excited about, Saturday, August 17th at high noon Pacific time, is going to be the very first Where Can I Find a Woman to Peg Me webinar. Yes, indeed, this is coming up. So all of you receivers out there who have just been at your wits' end trying to figure out how to find a partner, I have this webinar for you where I will basically give you all of the different information I have from a whole bunch of different points of view. I'll tell you some success stories that I have collected from other receivers who have written in to tell their story about how they found a partner. And even though it's not a magic wand, I think there is so much good information there for you guys. I really, really do. So yes, that is the inaugural event. That is the very first webinar of Where Can I Find a Woman to Peg Me? And I'll be doing those regularly in the future after that as well. All right, let's get to your letters. This one, I have to apologize. I did a whole bunch on a webinar and it was too long, so I cut off the end of it. And then when I switched computers, I lost that last recorded bit. And this lovely woman, I wrote to her and said, so, hey, I read your letter and I responded to it. And she wrote back and said, no, I don't think you did. And it's because I cut off that last part because the podcast was too big. So my apologies. This is for Jane. So, my boyfriend timidly told me that he has wanted to try pegging after we had sex one night. I didn't even think about it and agreed. I thought it was very sweet and honest that he trusted me to tell him. We bought a dildo and strap-on. After doing research and reading stories from people, mostly women who have done it, I've been getting worried. I'm worried that if we do this, he'll love it so much that he won't be able to enjoy sex with me the same way or won't be able to get it up. My boyfriend and I are both bisexual, and I've even wondered myself if these thoughts are stemming from toxic thoughts concerning bisexuality. I want to do this for him, and I think I'll like it, but what if he likes it more than me and wants it all the time, and I just can't provide that for him? Oh, yes, I've heard these concerns before. Thank you so much for writing in and sharing that situation with me. First of all, I'm not sure where you've been doing the research and reading the stories from people, but yes, there are stories here and there about guys who like it all the time, about guys who discover that they are gay and walk away from their partners, about guys who don't want regular sex anymore, and about guys who have erectile dysfunction for a short period of time after starting pegging. But those are definitely not the majority of the stories. The absolute majority of the stories are it works wonderfully, have a good time. Most of the time, the couple ends up on a deeper level of intimacy together. So yes, it's not a total guarantee that none of these things that you fear are going to happen. But I would suggest this to you. It's kind of like, would you never ever want to eat a piece of pumpkin pie? Because what if you decided you liked pumpkin pie better than anything else ever, and so you didn't want to miss out on those other things that you enjoy eating, so you decided to pass up the pumpkin pie. It's kind of like that. There are risks in life. You take risks when you try anything new. And I suppose the risk is always there that you may just go head over heels with this. And in this case, he might go head over heels for this and decide that this is the only thing he ever wants in terms of sexually. But that is a very rare occurrence. That does not happen very often at all. And if that indeed is what he decides he wants all the time, then this may sound, I don't know how this sounds to hear, but wouldn't you want him to have that anyway? And wouldn't you want to be with somebody who really wants you? it sounds as if you've got this balance where you're happy with the relationship, you're happy that everything's going well, and you don't want to ruin that. Well, that's what adventure is about, is taking risks. I can understand if you have fears and you don't want to do it, but I think I would express those fears really openly to him and say, you know, I really want to do this for you, but at the same time, I'm kind of scared that these things might happen. So, you know, what do you have to say about that? And it's quite possible he'll have all kinds of reassurances for you that, to the best of his ability to predict, that won't happen. But even if, say, he decides that he really likes it a lot more than sex and he wants it all the time, this is not too unusual of a reaction for some men when they first start, because it does provide a really powerful orgasm. But I mean, that's what happens in a relationship, is you compromise. So what I've advised those couples is to schedule it. And he can only have the pegging when you schedule it, and you two get to decide how often that will be and when it will be. And instead of it being like a punitive thing or a restrictive thing, it's more like, that way he always knows it's coming and he can look forward to it. And there's not a power struggle every time you guys get in bed where he's asking for that and you're going, whoa, I just want regular sex, you know? That avoids that scenario. And it doesn't have to be, like I said, a restrictive or punitive thing. It can be sort of a sexy thing where you guys can text each other and sext each other and say, hey, so I'm going to fuck your ass 2 nights from now. See what I mean? It can be a playful thing. So I guess the best advice that I would have for you is that, yes, there are risks. But so many couples have written me and told me how much deeper the intimacy in their relationship is, how amazing this has been for them, that I think I would try it. I think I would. I understand your fears. I really do. Have a conversation with him about it. And if you haven't listened to podcast number 112, maybe instead of sitting down with him and telling him all your fears, maybe sit down with him and listen to podcast number 112, because it goes through all the different fears about pegging. Some of them will not apply to you, but I find that education can really be helpful to calm down the fears, and it will be a good way to sort of introduce some of these topics to him rather than having to kind of screw up your courage and talk to him about the whole thing. So there's another suggestion. And if you're not sure you want to listen to it with him, listen to it yourself first. And then if you think it would be good to listen to with him, then do that. So yes, good luck to you. I really hope you do try it out. And I do hope that I get the letter from you saying you've tried it for the first time and you would like me to play the pegging celebration music for you both. I do hope that this happens. Thanks again for the letter and good luck to you. This is a comment on my website, pegging101.com, and it's under the article, Do Women Love Pegging? Woman A. Hard to say, to be honest. I think it was probably more physically pleasurable for my partners, who were experienced at it and knew exactly what they needed to do to make it a great romp, at least the first time. Woman B. I thought it was fun and interesting, but I think he liked it more. He was the one who requested it, and I was like, oh, okay, sure. So we did it, and then post-sex pegging, vaginal, everything. He turned to me and asked, was that weird how much I liked that? And it's funny because, you know, this comment kind of reflects on the last one. Do men like this a lot? Yeah, sure they do. And sometimes they're shy about expressing how much they like it, partly because they're getting fucked up the ass and there's all kinds of taboos against it and all this kind of stuff. But also, I do believe that many men out there are sensitive to this. It's like, oh, if I let her know how much I love this, it's going to really upset her. So relationships are about compromise. Relationships are about doing things that you both enjoy. And sometimes what that turns into is something that you enjoy, he does for you, something that he enjoys, you do for him. It's not always concurrent mutual pleasure. In fact, with sex, many times it's something that you do for each other, where the receiver of whatever the action is the one that's getting the pleasure. And I'm not saying it's not pleasurable emotionally and sometimes even physically and mentally to be giving to your partner. But yes, the compromise issue. And was it weird how much I liked it? Sometimes women get weirded out by how much guys like it. But here's what I have to say about that. An orgasm achieved by concurrent stimulation of prostate and penile stimulation. In other words, you jerk them off, you fuck them at the same time, an orgasm achieved that way is described by most men as feeling approximately 10 times as powerful as any orgasm that they've ever experienced. So, first of all, that's a height of pleasure to be celebrated. Wouldn't you want something like that for your partner? Now, would you want it to the exclusion of everything else and regular sex? Of course not. And more than likely, neither will he. I have seen the swing of the pendulum happen many times, where guys just get obsessed with it, and it's like, that's all I want all the time. Well, try and put yourself in a man's situation, where they're used to running the fuck, and not only used to it, but expected to. This is a very important point. Expected to run the fuck. Expected to be the giver of the pleasure. Expected to be able to make their hard-on last long enough to satisfy the woman they're fucking. Expected to be the one to change positions and do all the stuff, right? And I know that this is not true across the board. There are many relationships out there where this particular scenario that I am describing is not really the way that their sex works. However, it is common. It is the most common way that sex is had between a male and a female partner. So imagine if you were the guy in that situation. Wouldn't it be lovely to just relax and not have the responsibility and get fucked? Wouldn't that be just a complete relief to a certain extent? And I'm not saying that every time you lay down to have sex with your partner, you should go, oh my God, this is a real pain in the ass for him, and it would be a relief for him if he never had to do it. That's how you do sex, as you get together and you do things, and sometimes they're easier than others, and sometimes they're not as easy as you hoped it would be, and sometimes they're pleasurable, and sometimes they're not as pleasurable. But that's just all this wonderful magic of interweaving things together and finding out what your sweet spot sexual place is together. I described all that just because I wanted you to think about what it was like to be in his situation. So to finish the thought of the swing of the pendulum, yeah, some guys just kind of go all the way over there and go, you know what, I really don't want to have vaginal sex anymore. And sometimes that can be very upsetting for the women involved, absolutely. But I haven't heard of very many who have stayed over there. You know, they get confronted by their partners and it's like, no, this is not going to happen. In fact, you know, the price of admission for me fucking you is you fucking me as well. And the price of admission would be the way that Dan Savage would say it. So yes, there's a little bit more input because of that comment. And thank you for sharing that, whoever sent that in. Here is another question on my Pegging 101 website under the frequently asked questions. What is the typical age to start pegging? Is age 20 too young? I imagine pegging community being more mature aged. Well, that's an interesting question. Some people think that you should get really good at regular sex before you go into anything that's kind of kinky. I don't necessarily think that. I think that you should be aware that you are sort of pushing the envelope a little bit into different things and things that may shape your sexuality for the rest of your life, which is not a bad thing. I wouldn't say that the pegging community is being more mature aged. There are a lot of young people that are quite sexually adventuresome, that have no qualms whatsoever at jumping into the whole pegging adventure. So I don't think that that's a problem at all. But I couldn't really tell you what the typical age to start pegging is, because we're dealing with a bunch of different generations here, see? I mean, my generation, you know, like, well, let's just roughly call it over 40. Yeah, there's a lot of guys who have gotten to a point in their life where they're sort of looking for whatever else might excite them, and they discover anal stimulation and they love it. So they end up exploring the whole pegging thing. But then there are young people, millennials or this next generation or whatever generation we're in now, that are just really adventuresome right off the bat. They didn't grow up with the same sexual restrictiveness necessarily and the same intensity of the taboos and the same sexual box they were expected to stay in. There's been the breakdown of the gender binary. So many things are happening. So they seem to be much more ready and open to exploring new things. So there's a lot of young people out there that are exploring pegging, absolutely. Is age 22 young? No, I don't think so at all. I just think that you definitely need to be self-aware, you need to be honest with your partners, and all the basic things that you would want when you have sex with somebody. The campsite rule is my favorite. Try and leave every single sexual partner that you have better off than when you met them. That's a wonderful goal to always have, no matter what kind of sex you're having. But I encourage young people out there, have a party, go explore. You don't have to be a certain age to step off the plank of the boat and jump into the sea of pegging, if you will. Okay, thanks for the question. I found this question also on my pegging101.com site under the article, Do Women Love Pegging? And this is from Simone. Hi, Ruby. I loved reading this, but just two questions. Are women who love pegging usually dominant in other aspects of life? And are dominant women usually into pegging? Fascinating. You know, there's been no studies, you guys. All I can do when you ask questions like this is to guess. To guess, because I've got 9 years of experience with this website at peggingparadise.com and talking with you, all you listeners and readers and all that kind of stuff. So that's really all the experience that I have, which I suppose is the best out there at this point in time. I do not think that dominant women are necessarily into pegging at all. I think that more dominant women, in terms of like the BDSM sense, because, okay, well, when you say dominant, I first default to thinking that you're talking about BDSM stuff, but it's quite possible you're not at all, and you're just talking about a woman who has a rather dominant personality. And would they be into pegging if they decided to start exploring some kinky stuff? Maybe. I think that women who are dominant, whether it just be in their daily life or in the kink world, the BDSM world, I think they take to pegging more easily. I think women who are more submissive in either the kink world or regular life have a little bit more difficult time being the active giver because they do associate it with being more dominant and running the fuck and all of those things. And there are ways to ameliorate that, definitely. And of course, my favorite example is if you're into BDSM, put the strap on her, blindfold, nipple clamps, ball gag are all optional, tie her to the bed, and then ride her. This is one way you can absolutely get pegged, and this is one way that a submissive can still feel like they are not running the fuck. Or you can be in doggy style and put the leash and a collar on your submissive, and you could be pulling that chain and controlling the thrust of you getting fucked by the strap-on that they are wearing. So see, you can get creative with this kind of stuff. But back to your questions, are dominant women usually into pegging? In the kink world, yes, I would say that many times they are, and the women who are dominant who aren't into pegging are fewer, but okay, a guess, percentage, I'd say about 60% of the women who are dominant are into pegging and about 40% aren't. But, you know, I walk around in these circles all the time, so my sampling is skewed. It's highly skewed because of all the places I hang out and the people that I talk to. Now, are women who love pegging usually dominant in other aspects of their life? That's a really interesting question. I'm not sure. I think perhaps they are, but that one, it's funny. I feel less able to answer than your first question about are dominant women usually into pegging? Are women who love pegging usually dominant in other aspects of their life? Well, I can look at myself. I'm absolutely dominant in other aspects of my life. Here's where my mind goes when you ask that question. Sometimes when I am looking at the receivers, okay, you will find these receivers who are dominant in all aspects of their life. They're the CEO of a company, they're a manager or something, they control everything around them all the time, because many times receivers are expected to do that. Men are expected to do that in life. They're expected to be in control. Okay, so the swing of the pendulum applies here because they have this urge to let it all go and let go of that responsibility, like I spoke about earlier in the podcast, and have somebody fuck them and have somebody run the fuck, and they, so they can totally let go and be vulnerable. And I know that that happens with women too. I know more about how men react to pegging and what kinds of men are attracted to it than I do women. So it's a really interesting question, and maybe I'll put up a survey at some point in time and ask some of these questions and see what results that I come up with, because that is an interesting question. Thank you for asking both of those. I'm sorry I didn't have a more definitive answer for you on the one. Okay, and again, on my website, pegging101.com, this one is a comment on the article, Pegging Orgasms for Her. I am a lifestyle sub. I have only had anal sex through pegging for the past 4 years. If you want to train your partner to come from anal, put him in chastity for about 4 months. That did it for me. I love everything about getting pegged and being her slut. How hot it is when she gets rough and kind of forces me to just take it. I even love that sore, throbby feeling I get after she's fucked my brains out. And this is from Robert. Robert, thank you so much for sharing that. That was hot. So yes, abstinence absolutely is a way to encourage hands-free prostate orgasms to come from anal, right? Chastity is one way to guarantee that, pretty much. And 4 months is quite a while, absolutely. But it sounds like you two have found your sweet spot in how you relate sexually, and I'm quite happy for both of you. And yes, that sore, throbby feeling you get after she's fucked your brains out. I've heard men describe that before, about how enjoyable that is several days afterwards. Every time they sit down and that sore, throbby feeling, and they're like, oh yeah, I got my brains fucked out. Thanks for the letter, Robert. This is an email titled, Reassurance. Hi, Ruby. I'm new to this, and originally, my fiancé and I tried for the first time. I was extremely hesitant, but intrigued. It was quite awkward, but I caught myself thinking more about it. Fast forward 4 years, the experimentation became more driven by me, and now she is more hesitant to perform the act. I was reluctant, then boom! When I had my first prostate orgasm, I was so shocked of the result. I now catch myself asking for it more and more. And now, she is just not interested. We communicate well, and I reassured her that I just enjoy the intimacy we share when we do participate in the act. I have no interest in trying this with anyone but her, but for some reason I sense she is not being truthful with me. Have I ruined an incredible experience with my significant other, even though she was so insistent at the beginning? And this is from Diablo. So, she was more the driver of the bus, as I call it, in the beginning, and really wanting to do the pegging thing, and you were like, well, okay, but you were hesitant. And then you did some more experimentation together, and boom, you had your first prostate orgasm, and then you were all about it. So yes, no surprise there, because when you find something that's extremely pleasurable, of course you're all about it. So the question now would be, why is she not all about it? What is the thing that's holding her back? And not knowing enough about your situation, all I can do is suggest certain scenarios, because one of my first questions is what I usually ask is, are you keeping your side of the street clean? Are you doing for her? Are you being the very best partner you can be? Are you being helpful? Are you being kind? Are you being compassionate? Are you doing chores without being asked? Or are you making her ask you every time she needs something done? Are you trying to anticipate her needs? Are you trying to satisfy her needs sexually as well as in everyday life? These are all things, and many more, whatever you can think of to keep your partner happy. The happier you keep your partner, the more motivated they are going to be to give you what you want. And if they know that you want the pegging, oh my gosh, and after all the stuff you've done for me, honey, absolutely I will fuck you tonight. That is a common scenario. So this is what I mean about keeping your side of the street clean. You do also need to attend to hygiene. You do need to also make sure that you are not trying to be coercive or too pushy when you ask for it. And it does sound like you two need to just sit down and have a conversation about it. I just wrote a piece on FetLife that got a lot of attention and a lot of comments. And what I was wondering was, there are absolutely givers out there where after they've tried it, or even just the thought of them trying it, and they never have done pegging, they're just like, no, I'm not interested because I don't get anything out of it. Now, I know that there are some women out there that have no interest in it for a whole lot more reasons than just they don't get any physical pleasure out of it. There can be so many other reasons why they're not interested in pegging, and some of them have a lot to do with their partner. Like, for example, if their partner is very coercive and tries to get them to do it all the time and tries to kind of push them into it, that can be a real turnoff. It can kind of spoil the fun if your partner's too insistent about things and doesn't allow you your timeline in terms of exploring a new kink with you or enjoying it. This is the compromise part in relationships, right? But it can also be hygiene, and maybe they're a little shy to tell you that your hygiene isn't as good as it could be. There are absolutely women out there that want to be fucked and they don't want to fuck anybody, and that is valid. That's okay. Here's where I land on all of this. As long as what your partner is asking lands within you in the benign territory or better. In other words, say a guy says, I would really like you to tongue my ass. And I thought, well, you know, I don't think I'll get anything out of it, but I could do it. I don't have any aversion to it. That's totally fine. That's benign. Okay, whatever the action is that they're asking for, that's a benign thing. It's easier to give to your partner something that's benign because there's no active dislike. So anything benign or better, meaning you like some things about it or maybe you like it a lot, those are good things to include in your sexual repertoire. But the moment that you step back over that line to something that you dislike about it, then it becomes a thing that you seriously have to weigh and consider. Because if you find yourself doing a sexual act for your partner that has enough dislike on your part connected to it, then there better either be a really good trade that you're getting something that you really, really want in return, or you shouldn't be doing it because that builds up resentment. If every single time you do this one thing, you don't like it, then you shouldn't be doing it. And that's valid too. So it's impossible to know why she's mediocre about it now, why she's not really interested in it. So those are all things having to do with you and how you two interact. Then again, it could be all about what she's going through in her life. Again, I don't know anything about your life, but let's just say you guys just had kids. She's on overwhelm. She's doing the best she can to just get through every day, take care of those kids, cook dinner or whatever, and live life. Or maybe she's gained weight and she's feeling really self-conscious about herself. See, there's so many reasons that the only way you're ever going to know is if you ask her to be truthful with you. I would suggest that first off, you make sure your side of the street is clean, you make sure your hygiene's clean, and that way you have covered all your bases. And then once you've got her to hopefully a pretty happy place because you're such an awesome partner, then ask her to sit down and talk with you about this and ask for the truth and say, okay, so now I've decided I really, really like this, but I'm kind of sensing that you are pretty mediocre about it. And so can we talk about that? Because this is something I really want. But if you don't want it, then, you know, let's talk about why. And maybe we don't ever have to do it anymore if you really don't want to do it, but I'm curious as to why. That's a sample conversation. You don't have to use that one, but it's an example of the conversation that you guys need to have together. Unless you have been really insistent and coercive about her pegging you, I don't think you've ruined anything. I just think you guys need to communicate more because I can't read her mind. I don't know what she's thinking. I don't know why she doesn't want to do it. So have a talk. Use your words. Ask her. And good luck to you and let us know how it goes. The subject on this next email is the best night ever. Dear Ms. Ryder, time for celebration. Last night my wife pegged me and it was unbelievable. Hot, sweaty, loving, intense, violating, just so good, so ridiculously good. Last night wasn't our first foray into anal play, but it was certainly the first time everything came together into an evening so different and so pleasurable, I can't stop thinking about it. When pegging works, it works so well. I cannot believe this isn't more of a thing. It was a fairly long road to get here. We have a healthy sexual relationship, which is pretty kink-free aside from the anal play. I suggested bringing anal play into our relationship, and although my wife strictly gives rather than receives, she really enjoys it due to the evident pleasure it gives me and the increased intensity of our sexual encounters. We have incorporated some degree of such anal play into sex for some years now. Typically, I might wear a butt plug, or she might provide external stimulation. On occasion, we've used a dildo on me, normally handheld, although once we even strapped it on. However, with these penetrative encounters, the sense of awkwardness, or perhaps shame, wasn't entirely absent. Neither of us were lost in the moment, and we didn't get as much from them as we might. We were dipping our toes in the water rather than taking the plunge. That was until last week. So what changed? The key for us was a combination of communication, time, equipment, and fingers. By talking more freely about sex, we took another look at where we were sexually and where we might want to be. I had decided that I would like to try pegging again and made a conscious effort to be open about these desires with my wife, although these conversations can be difficult to initiate if you aren't the kind of couple who often discuss sex. She seemed okay with the idea, not mad on it, but willing to go along with my fantasy nonetheless. Around this time, she began to internally stimulate me in bed, using her fingers and lots of lube. Until now, such digital stimulation was mostly external, and the difference was remarkable. As well as feeling incredible, it completely dissolved the residual awkwardness around anal play. After a few such sessions, it was normalized in such a nice way. We love each other and are doing something in private that brings us closer together. Why wouldn't we do it? Fingers led to dildos. Dildos led to strap-ons. A wonderful progression so full of satisfaction and bonding. Our recipe for those who are interested was as follows. Me, clean well, healthy diet, bulb, douche, and shower. Her, plenty of lube, parentheses liquid silk, and fingers to warm up. Us, strap-on, Vixen Mustang, and spare parts Jacques harness, and go to town. The dual-density dildo was a real game-changer. So I feel enormously lucky to have a wife who is so open-minded and willing to please, and lucky to have resources like yours which normalize and educate. Most of all, I feel lucky to have been fucked in the ass by my wife who I love. One of the unexpected joys is the feeling of lying in bed after having had a session of multiple orgasms, holding one another, feeling satisfied and used. Very different, very nice. Your podcast and website were undoubtedly part of this equation. The practical advice was essential, but moreover, the idea that there need not be shame around this sexual activity was some much-needed encouragement. Thank you. Keep it up and keep it strapped on. Jerry. So I wanted to read that first and then announce at the end of it, I am playing the music for you both. It doesn't make any difference if it wasn't the first time. This is the time that it came together, and that is absolutely a reason to celebrate. So this is for you, Jerry, and your partner. Pegging celebration time. The subject on this next email is thank you. Hi, Ruby. I recently discovered your incredible site and I'm obsessed with it. I'm in the process of listening to all of your podcasts as well. Retired military pilot and now in the EMS field. Married for 20 years and have recently begun solo play with a snug plug too. My first anal experience was well before I was married when a girlfriend fingered me. I never forgot. Nor did I fully understand. Thanks to your site, I now do. It was exhilarating buying that first toy a few weeks ago, and of course using it is even better. The girl at the store was incredibly helpful. I'm going back soon to go for the Snug Plug 3 as I want more girth, size, and feel. My extremely vanilla wife does not know about my toy. I did, however, tell her I am interested in prostate stimulation with her. I even whispered the word pegging. There was minimal response, but I had all of this courage to do all of these recent actions because of you. We are very sexually disconnected and haven't been very intimate for many years. I do hope this will help us reconnect on a personal and intimate level. In our distant years, I have changed. I'm now emotionally needy and sensitive. On occasion, she will call me a girl in those moments and doesn't yet know I secretly like it when she does. I hope the dynamic of our relationship changes, and I assume a sub-role to her in all ways with pegging of me, the new order. I hope you find this interesting and will want to know how this plays out. For now, I will be listening, reading, and plugged whenever I can. Thank you for giving me the courage to get this far and changing my life for the better. And he signs it to be hers. This is wild because I fully expected this story to continue with you two exploring things together, and I got kind of sad when you told me the situation between the two of you. That doesn't detract from the wonderful pleasure of anal stimulation that you have discovered, which is awesome. But I do find it fascinating how, because of the sexual disconnection between the two of you, you've gotten kind of emotionally needy and sensitive, and how you kind of like that she calls you a girl like that. I think it's lovely that you're able to let your feelings out like that. There are many men out there who just really can't and don't have the opportunity and don't have the trust of their partner that their partner's not going to give them a hard time about it. And I suppose she jokingly is, but it's lovely also that you like that and that you actually sort of fantasize about being the girl. So it's not that rare of a fantasy of receivers who really enjoy pegging. So how fun is this? Oh my gosh. I'm glad you're getting so much out of the podcast and that you found the courage to do all of these recent things because of what I put out there in the world. I'm so happy about that. That's exactly why I do what I do. So good luck in exploring these new paths. And please do let us know how it goes. It sounds like you are both on the verge of something. It really does. Thank you so much for the letter and good luck to you. This next letter is from Sweet Paul Francis. For the past 20 years, I've been a CEO of both public and private companies. Between one another, CEOs admit others rarely understand the burden we carry, given the number of people who are impacted by our decisions. I have loved most of my roles as CEO, but have come to realize you have to get out from under the weight of the job sometimes. Searching porn late one night, I stumbled upon my first pegging video and found myself immediately excited. Watching a beautiful woman take control of her man, forcing her cock in his ass, gave me a rock-hard erection, which quickly led to masturbation and then a wonderful orgasm. Quickly, I found myself fascinated by the concept of a woman strapping one on and taking the dominant role. I loved it. While I had thought about domination in the past, I knew it was not my wife's idea of fun. She is more subtle than that, so I never brought it up. But this was different. I began planning my ask weeks in advance, trimming pubic hair, having my ass waxed, and buying what I thought was the right dildo as a starter toy. When the night arrived, I spent time making sure I was ready down there. I had eaten only fruit and vegetables for days and made sure to enema a few times before the night got going. After a few glasses of wine, I suggested we go upstairs and have some fun. I focused all of my energy on her at first, sucking her breasts and gently massaging her body. Making love grew in intensity, and she came quickly the first time, slowly leading up to her second orgasm. I reached into the side table and pulled out the purple dildo I had bought. Showing it to her, I asked if she wanted to put it in my ass, and she smiled and grabbed the lube. Rolling over on my stomach, she placed a pillow under my hips and gently began to probe my ass. I spread my legs as far apart as I could as she gently inserted the end of the dildo in my waiting butthole. My cock was throbbing, my skin tingling, and I couldn't wait for more. She worked the dildo into me, pulling out just enough as I continued to raise my hips. Pressing the dildo against my prostate, I felt the cum slowly dripping from the head of my throbbing cock. I encouraged her to give me more, and the rhythmic pushing intensified until I came with a bang. It was glorious. We talked the next morning, and I asked what she thought of taking this to the next step, strapping one on, and fucking me in the ass. She was game, and I was in the toy store that afternoon buying her a harness and me a slightly larger dildo. Fast forward, and I quickly realized the joy of being her submissive fuck toy. Now, after 2 years of anal bliss, I have learned so much about myself. Letting go, allowing her to take control of me, means so much. I trust her with my life, which has a lot to do with my willingness as a certified A-type to completely let go and let her pound the shit out of me. More than anything, I love being submissive to my wife as she holds my legs in the air to push her cock deep inside me. I love missionary, legs up with her cock pushing against my prostate. Speaking to me with authority, she is respectful, yet I know she is in full control. I don't need to be humiliated. Being a public CEO will give you plenty of humility. Rather, I need to be dominated by a strong woman. Writing this, I have enjoyed a wonderful erection and am ready to go upstairs and prep my ass for a night of pounding from the woman I love. Yoo-hoo! And the topic was, why this CEO loves to be pegged. So yes, yeah, sweet Paul Francis, thank you so much for that. I loved you sharing your story, and this is exactly what I was talking about the men who were in control in so many areas of their life. Really crave that letting go, and you described this so very well. You described the whole thing really well and really sexy. That was a hot letter. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I have to also comment on your method of introduction. You know your wife, clearly, but your whole just sort of pull the dildo out of the drawer after you've satisfied her and saying, hey, you want to put this in my ass? And I know it wasn't probably quite like that, but it sounded like it from the story. I do have to also really compliment you on the hygiene, the trimming, the cleaning out, and, you know, the eating fruit and vegetables for 3 days beforehand and making sure. So yes, you absolutely planned this. Well done, sir. And like I said, clearly you know your wife, and it's just delightful to hear how well she reacted. Now she was so game. So, okay, thank you so much for that letter. This is from the new patron that I mentioned, Three Brown Eyes. The subject is Doc Johnson and Other Things. Hello, Ruby. As it happens, and this unfolds, and your precious gift reveals itself, to me, to my lovely wife, and to so many others, I applaud you. It's a discovery, a journey, in mind and, of course, body, into a level of trust few heterosexuals reach. I lost my first wife after 25 years to my desires. Whatever the reasons, you can't deny your kinks. I've been with a few men and know the feeling of being fucked for their sake, only to learn I'm not gay. I yearned for a woman who loves me in a way that is reciprocal, in the most profound of scenarios. I've been so fortunate to have found someone who gives with such love and opens herself to me as well. When my wife reaches into me and touches me in places so few have known, it makes me weep. When I tell her I want things, to be a man, to be fucked by her, to fuck her too, to taste her everywhere, to wear panties, to give myself to her, to be her bitch, to make love in every way possible, and she responds with her own desires and with no shame. She whispers to me as she opens me how much she loves me, how much of a man I am for giving myself to her completely. And when I take her after she's done, long after I massage her shoulders to slowly bring her to that place where she opens herself, because I know the soft journey to the hard climax, I realize how powerful the fine art of pegging and being pegged can be. Beyond the semantics, the sizes, the cleanliness or dirtiness, lubrication, positions, attire, also important, yet the real art, the real psychological design of it, that fine line for men and that willingness for women, and vice versa, comes from people like you, grounded in your kinks, devoid of shame, putting yourself out there for us. You are a conduit to reason in such a sexually imbalanced world. Thank you, Ruby, from the bottom of my bottom. Oh, that was rather poetic and lovely to read, and it just warmed my heart. I am so happy with doing what I'm doing. I'm so happy being that conduit because I get to hear all these stories about these wonderful, wonderful scenarios of pleasure and discovery and adventure and intimacy and all of these things. This is my reward, is hearing what happens when you guys find the stuff that I put out there in the world. So thank you for writing about it so eloquently. Absolutely. Wow, that was quite a letter. And very clever, too. Three brown eyes says, thank you, Ruby, from the bottom of my bottom. Thank you so much for sending that letter in. This is from Joe. My apologies for the tardiness of this note. I just wished to quickly share. I've been a fan for a while. While I was introduced to your podcasts while in the low 100s, probably number 112 is your most popular, I assume, I have embarked on a mission, so to speak. I started at podcast number 1, and I'm up to 68 as of today. I actually listen to your podcast while commuting via Bluetooth through my car speakers before bed instead of mindless television, and more recently, while working out at the club. Trust me, a lot more interesting while on the treadmill or elliptical versus Property Brothers on HGTV. I did wish to comment. I've enjoyed not only the subject matter, but also your growth, confidence, authoritativeness in a positive way, and overall comfort of the podcast medium. I just finished installment, I believe number 2, of your first interview of the gentleman who visited a professional. Have you thought about applying to 60 Minutes for an interviewer? Give Anderson Cooper some competition. Let us just hope no accidents at the club or driving while listening to your podcasts. I may have some explaining to do to club staff or law enforcement. It would be a hoot. Man so engrossed with podcast about pegging has accident on treadmill. More on the 11 p.m. newscast. Keep up the excellent and informative work. When I have a moment, I will email you concerning the opposite of cross-dressing, as I have taken a different route. For example, more masculine attire when pegging is on the agenda. We'll explain further under separate cover. Nothing wrong with cross-dressing. However, I already have enough issues finding proper fitting men's attire due to a beefier, muscular frame. Many men's lines are now slim cut for millennials, and I am far from the Andrew Christian models. Yes, I do listen with full attention. Thus, cross-dressing becomes a size challenge and of no interest. Trust me, not a pretty sight. Warmest regards, Joe. Joe, that's an interesting place to leave that letter at. But yes, I am intrigued that you want to wear really masculine stuff while you're getting pegged. That is something I haven't run across yet, so please do send more details under separate cover. And yes, you are listening well if you're listening to me talk about the Andrew Christian models. You know, interestingly enough, when you say, you know, law enforcement, I wrote a story about that, okay? I wrote a story about a woman who was listening to my podcast, and she ran a stop sign and got pulled over by a guy. So, yes. Not the first time I've had that idea in the opposite direction, perhaps. But, you know, I have a fascination with law enforcement myself, and if you're listening to all my podcasts, you know that. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for the lovely letter, and thank you also for all your kind words. Again, I'm just grateful that what I put out there in the world is something that people get a lot out of. And I know how it is when you find a podcast that you love and you listen to it everywhere you go. Whenever I have a long drive, that's when I'm plugging in my podcast. And I think I may have said this before, but I don't actually listen to almost any other sexual podcasts. I listen to Radiolab and Freakonomics, and I do listen to Dan Savage sometimes, but not all the time. So yes, podcasts rock, and I'm so glad that you are enjoying mine. Don't forget to write and tell me about your opposite cross-dressing. Thanks for the letter, Joe. This is from Eric, and the subject is looking for the right size harness. Ruby, my girlfriend Jenny and I are looking for a larger harness. We're hoping that you can point us in the right direction. We've tried 3 harnesses and all were too small to be comfortable. We're looking for a harness that will fit larger hips and also look sexy and feminine at the same time. We're willing to spend a little more for the right product. We love pegging. Wow, Eric, so here's the deal. There's 2 that I can recommend right off the bat, especially if you are looking for something that's really feminine. Spare Parts Fabric Harnesses have these 2 harnesses that they offer, the Sasha and the Bella, that are exquisitely feminine. They have detachable garters, and the Sasha is my favorite. It has ruching up the ass crack. What does ruching mean? It means a slight gather so that when you put that on, it kind of dips into the butt crack basically and emphasizes those butt cheeks. So it looks really sexy from the rear. And like I say, the garters are so feminine. They look astonishingly feminine, and they are detachable if you don't want to use the garters. The Sasha also has these little ribbons on the side seams, and if you want to, you can pull those ribbons and make the harness a little bit more high cut. If, because of the big hips, it fits better, if it's full cut, you have that option as well. And it's so comfortable to wear. Oh my gosh, it's really comfortable. So that would be the first one that Spare Parts makes that's like their, they call them their couture designer harnesses, I think. And when you buy these, you get the harness, you get a bag to keep the harness in. Inside the bag to keep the harness in is a little pocket for the detachable garters with a couple of buttons to close it so you never lose the detachable garters. And you also get a bag to wash it in. And everything is made so exquisitely well that I can't say enough about Spare Parts harnesses. The other harness they offer that is absolutely exquisite as well is the Bella. The pretty parts about the Bella is that it's made from a fabric that is patterned so beautifully. The Sasha isn't as much, it's just a nice silky fabric, but part of the allure of the Bella is the fabric itself. It's got this beautiful jacquard fabric that you can see in the pictures, and I'll put links, of course, to all this in the Linkorama, and it has a little peephole for your butt cleavage. So it's just a decorative little hole on the back that dips and shows the top of the butt cleavage basically with a little bow on top of it. It is, you should know about the Bella, it is a booty short, so the back of the butt is going to hang out a little bit. Sometimes women who have big hips don't like that, but some do. Some like it a lot. These come in sizes all the way up to 3X, which fits a low waist measurement of 49 to 52 inches. And it does say that they're also bringing 4X and 5X soon, but they don't appear to have that yet. So it does go all the way up to 3X. Hopefully that is something that will fit. Both of those have the detachable garters, the Bella and the Sasha, for the from Spare Parts, okay? So the other option I have is not fabric, it is leather. And it's the Aslan Leather Minx. You may have heard me talking about it a lot. It comes in some really fun and beautiful colors, so that can be part of the feminine. It doesn't have to be like this hardcore black leather thing. But there's a corset back. Look at the pictures of it and see what she thinks, because this corset back is so flattering and so beautiful. And it's nice and wide and gives quite a bit of stability, plus one additional added adjustment point. And it's one of the best harnesses I've ever found for women with big hips and also big upper thighs. Those big, beautiful women out there, that is just a fantastic harness for them. So it depends on what she wants, because, you know, there's purple, Prince Purple, there's Nicki Minaj Pink, you know, there's some beautiful colors. So take a look at that. But those 3 are the ones that absolutely right off the bat I would recommend, because they're quite excellent for the big, beautiful women. And you didn't say anything about her belly. You just said her hips are big. So one of the things to also consider when you have a big, beautiful woman is if there's a belly portion that kind of hangs down a little bit. And if that's the case, then the best harness would be one that kind of contains that belly. And that would probably be the Sasha, because you can make that more of a full cut. So you can pull it up and it can contain that belly. So the belly's not going to get in the way when you fuck your lovely partner. This big, beautiful woman is going to have this lovely harness on and fuck your brains out. I don't know where that came from, but it just kind of flowed. So there you go. So, Eric, those are the harnesses that I recommend. Check out those links and see what those look like. and go from there. And if you have any other questions, of course, please do let me know, and let me know what you got and how you too like it. I'm so sad that you've tried 3 different harnesses and none of them were big enough. It sounds like you were maybe buying the cheaper ones. I mean, there are some harnesses out there that are quite beautiful that just don't come in the bigger sizes. And it's always so disappointing to me. As a matter of fact, I just got back from the Anime show, not Anime, the Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo, Anime, right? So just got back from that show. And there was a harness I tried on there that I liked quite a bit that we do sell through Entice Me. It's the vanity harness, but it just barely fit me. It was like, seriously? Come on, guys. And then there was another one that is a new fabric harness by another company. And I looked, and actually the biggest waist size that they had was so small, I thought, good grief, it's just only going to fit a small percentage of these beautiful givers out here. And I'm really sensitive to this whole thing about the big, beautiful population who are interested in pegging being underserved. You guys have heard me talk a lot about the dildos aren't long enough and the harnesses. You have to be careful which ones cater to the big, beautiful bodies and which ones don't. So yes, this new one that came out with this other company certainly didn't. And I kind of gave the other people an earful with the vanity harness. That was stockroom. I tried it on over my jeans and everything, and you know, it was interesting and it was fun to do it out in the hallway and just sit there and try it on over my jeans, you know, kick my shoes off and say, hey, can I take this off your model and just try it on? But that will be the next podcast when I go through all the things that I found there that I was really excited about. But meanwhile, yes, very, very important to get a good fitting harness, and lovely, beautiful, big hips can present a problem. Sorry to hear you had so much trouble, and any one of those harnesses are likely to work perfectly for your girlfriend. So thank you so much for writing in, and let us know what you got and how you like it. So happy to hear you love pegging. Thanks for the question. And that is going to do it for this podcast. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum, or pegging101.com, which has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page and my MeWe discussion group. If you order some sexy new toys from Entice Me, please do remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your entire purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too bad, too bold, or too bodacious. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging. #NoShame.